بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading the beliefs and aqaid regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief number 11. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed man with the faculty of intellect and will, due to which man carries out actions of virtue and sin by his own choice. Man does not possess the ability to create his own actions. Rather, they are created by Allah Ta'ala due to man's choice. Allah Ta'ala is displeased when a person chooses to sin and pleased when he chooses to do an act of virtue. Belief number 12. Allah Ta'ala has not commanded his servants to carry out such actions which are beyond their capabilities. Belief number 13. There is nothing binding upon Allah Ta'ala. Whatever favors Allah Ta'ala showers upon us is solely due to His grace. This brings us to the end of the aqaid concerning Allah Ta'ala. Now we commence concerning those beliefs which regard the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, the messengers. Belief number 1. The Anbiya alayhimu salam are the pure and chaste servants of Allah Ta'ala, who was sent by Allah Ta'ala to guide His servants, so that the creation be brought closer to Allah Ta'ala and onto the straight path, and they be saved from deviation. The Anbiya alayhimu salam were human beings and possessed all human propensities and qualities. They received knowledge directly from Allah Ta'ala, called wahi, which is revelation. They possessed the greatest knowledge in their times and amongst their people. Belief number 2. To be a messenger of Allah Ta'ala, that is to be a Nabi or a Rasul, is a special gift of Allah Ta'ala. It can never be acquired or earned through striving or effort. Allah Ta'ala chooses for this task whomsoever He wills. Belief number 3. It is necessary to believe in and honor all the Anbiya alayhimus salam. To reject even one Nabi is tantamount to rejecting all the Anbiya alayhimus salam, since all the Anbiya alayhimus salam taught the same principles, even though they differed in subsidiary matters. Belief number 4. All the Anbiya alayhimus salam are pure and chaste servants of Allah Ta'ala. They are free from major and minor sins, due to which they are referred to as ma'soom, which means sinless. This belief is part of Iman. If the Anbiya alayhimus salam were not pure and free from sin, Allah Ta'ala would never have ordered their implicit and absolute obedience. Allah Ta'ala would not have equated obedience to the Anbiya alayhimus salam as obedience to Him. If any slip up occurs in a Nabi due to forgetfulness or by mistake, then we will attribute it to an outside factor and not as an inherent fault. The natural disposition of the Anbiya alayhimus salam is purity. A slip up by a Nabi can never be counted as a sin, since they are not naturally disposed to evil. For example, the mistake of Adam alayhi salam was due to forgetfulness. No one else besides the Anbiya alayhimus salam are sinless. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 7th para was recited, which comprises of the remainder portion of Suratul Ma'idah till about just after the quarter, and for the remainder of the para, Suratul An'am was recited. The first verses of the 7th para are actually connected to the verses which were mentioned at the end of the 6th para, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mention of the fact that the Christians, compared to the Jews and the polytheists, the mushrikeen, who are extremely hostile to the Muslims, the Christians, on the other hand, Allah ta'ala mentions, are much closer in friendship to the mu'mineen. And the reason given there was that Allah Ta'ala says that because amongst them are their scholars, their ulama, and the monks, and because they don't have pride. So from this we also understand that pride becomes an hindrance, an obstacle from accepting the truth when it comes to the fore. And those that don't have pride, when they recognize the truth, then they accept. It was mentioned yesterday that by the Christians mentioned here are those Christians who are truly following the teachings of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and especially the Christians of Abyssinia during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who accommodated and granted refuge to the Muslimin who were escaping the persecution of the kuffar of Makkah. So concerning them, Allah Ta'ala says that وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ, that when they hear that which has been revealed to the Rasul, to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will see that from their eyes tears flow because they recognize the truth. So when the Muslims reached Abyssinia, and the king at that time, Najashi, who was a Christian, afterwards he accepted Islam, when he tried to find out why are they coming there and what is the reasons. And then when the Muslims, they recited the verses of the Quran Majid, he recognized it to be the revelation of the Quran Majid, the last divine scripture, and he and his courtiers, they accepted Islam. And thereafter a delegation was sent to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. And there Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to them verses of the Quran Majid from Surah Yasin. And they all, recognizing that it to be the truth, they started weeping. Allah Ta'ala says further that then they said, Rabbana amanna, O our Rabb, we have brought iman, we have believed. Therefore record us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst those that testify. When those people who are the delegation, they accepted Islam, then they were criticized and taunted by some people, particularly the Jews and the enemies of Islam. They, in response to that, Allah Ta'ala mentions, they said, وَمَا لَنَا لَا نُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, that what is the reason for us not to bring iman upon Allah Ta'ala, whereas the truth has come to them, has come to us. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is the case in all the Madani surahs, that many laws and laws of Shariat are mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that don't make haram, don't make unlawful those pure things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you. And do not overstep the limits which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had laid out. So here the prohibition of that which Allah has made halal, don't make it haram. The ulama in explaining this mention that if this is done by way of belief and aqidah, then that is kufr. That what Allah Ta'ala has made halal, how can you have the aqidah that it is haram? Then the other way, the second way is by way of verbal oaths. Where a person takes an oath that whatever is halal, he has made it haram upon himself. For example, he said that I have made haram an unlawful, for example, meat or whatever else. So this, the ruling for that is that it is compulsory that he breaks his oath and he pays the kafara. And the third way is through a practical way where a person abstains from those things which Allah Ta'ala has made halal. Here also now there are two ways. If he does this as an act of reward and thawab, then this is bid'at, also a major sin which he has to abstain from. But the other way is he stays away from something because of medical reasons or because of spiritual reasons. For example, he's suffering from an ailment and doctors have told him that he should stay away from eating a particular type of food, and that is why he abstains from that. There's nothing wrong with that. There is no sin in that. Or because it will affect his spirituality in any way, then that's why he abstains from certain foods. This is also permissible. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rulings concerning oaths, the different types of oaths. Allah ta'ala says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم, that Allah ta'ala will not call you to account for your yamin al-lagwa. Yamin al-lagwa is those type of oaths which are ineffectual because they either it was mentioned words of oath without intending an oath, or because a person took an oath thinking of something to be in a certain way, whereas in reality it was contrary to that. Allah Ta'ala will not take a person to task and call him to account
for such type of oaths. But further Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَاكِي يُعَاخِذُكُمْ بِمَا عَقَّدْتُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, that Allah Ta'ala will call you to account for those oaths which you take deliberately and those which are the binding oaths upon a person, where for the future a person says he will do or he will not do a particular thing and he goes contrary to that. That Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will take a person to task for. If a person then breaks his oath and goes against the oath, then what is the kafara for that? Allah Ta'ala says that a person then has to feed 10 poor people from that average type of food which you feed your own household members, or you have to clothe 10 poor people, such clothing which covers the major portion of their bodies, or a person has to free a slave. But if a person is unable to do so, then Allah Ta'ala says, then the ruling for that person is for siyamu thalathati ayyam. Then he has to fast 3 days, and it is mentioned in the hadith that these three fasts, and the fuqaha have also explained that they have to be kept consecutively, then that will be the kafara for that person who has broken his vow and his oath. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the prohibition, clear prohibition of gambling and liquor. The prohibition for it was gradually phased in, because the Arabs were greatly addicted to this, and wisdom also demands that a person who is addicted to something and suddenly he withdraws, and or the order to withdraw from for it is given, becomes extremely difficult on a person. So the prohibition was gradually phased in. This ayat indicates the clear prohibition, whereas many other ayat of the Quran Majid, the clear prohibition wasn't given. So in this verse, the clear prohibition is given, and Allah Ta'ala says that these are from the actions of shaitan, from the works of shaitan, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ, therefore completely abstain from it, so that you may become successful. Concerning liquor and gambling, Allah Ta'ala mentions that these are actually the agencies of corruption and the works of shaitan. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ, that shaitan wishes to breed between you, between yourselves, enmity and hatred by means of liquor and gambling. And shaitan wishes to prevent you from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa anis salah, and he wishes to prevent you from salat. So the evils associated with liquor and gambling are that it makes a person completely negligent and unmindful from his obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of remembrance and salat. Allah Ta'ala says, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ, will you not now abstain when you know the evils which are associated with gambling and liquor? Gambling and liquor are such evils in society that not only, as mentioned here, they breed enmity and hatred, but all forms of corruption and evil, the cause for it is normally when people start indulging in liquor and gambling. All other types of social disorders, whether spiritual or physical, are also associated with them. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some rules and regulation concerning hunting in the state of ihram, that a person is not allowed to hunt those type of those animals which are normally to be found on land, which are called terrestrial animals. A person is not allowed to hunt them in a state of ihram. But those animals which are found, which live in water, in the sea or in the rivers, to hunt them, that is permissible. If a person goes against this ruling of Shariat, what is the penalty? All of that, the details have been mentioned here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in connection with this point of ihram, Allah Ta'ala mentions the great position of the Baytullah, the Ka'batullah. That this Ka'batullah, Baytullah in Makkatul Mukarrama, Allah Ta'ala says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Kaaba, which is the sacred house, Allah Ta'ala has made it a means to maintain mankind, not only Muslims, but mankind. In other words, for the physical as well as the spiritual well-being and security of all of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Baytullah, has given the Baytullah that position. In other words, as long as the people, they continue facing towards the Baytullah, as long as the Muslims continue facing the Baytullah in Salat and going for the annual Hajj and having azmat and respect and honor and reverence of the Baytullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a source of stability and continuity of the functioning of this universe. It comes in the hadith that as long as someone is still in the world to say Allah, Allah, Qiyamah will not come. And once that condition is no more there, then Qiyamah will come. And Qiyamah will come upon the people when there will be no one left to say even Allah, Allah on the surface of the earth. So this is the status of the Baytullah. And we hear so many times from our mashayikh that how the great torrents of mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and barakat which are continuously coming out from the Baytullah. Each masjid throughout the world is connected to the Baytullah, and all those blessings which are coming down on Baytullah are then distributed to all the masajid of the world. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the fact that telling the believers, لا تسألوا عن أشياء إن تبدى لكم تسوكم. Many Sahaba radiallahu anhum started asking unnecessary questions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, who is my father? Or my camel is lost. Where is my camel? These type of questions obviously are not things which are necessary necessary to be asked, or of which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows about that. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of many things, but these type of questions are not supposed to be asked. Allah ta'ala says, don't ask such things, that if they are made known to you, perhaps you will now dislike them. And therefore don't ask unnecessary questions. And even those things which are clear cut, then too, don't ask too many questions to find out why and which way. The order is simple, make amal on it. And Allah ta'ala says that when the Quran and Majid is being revealed and you ask such questions, and perhaps then you will fall into great difficulty, because then restrictions will come. The more you ask, the more now restrictions will come. So when the order is clear cut, then make amal on it. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of a verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum. That O believers, O people of Iman, take care of yourselves, and that person who has gone astray will not be able to harm you if you yourselves are rightly guided. The apparent meaning of this is that worry about yourself, don't worry about anybody else, and therefore there is no need to do amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar, to enjoin the good and to prohibit from the evil. But this is a misconception. Many eminent sahaba radiallahu anhum, particularly Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, once he addressed the people and told the people that all of you recite this verse, and this misconception could come that this meaning is meant. Whereas he says that he heard directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when evil is being perpetrated and you have the ability to stop that evil from taking place and yet you don't do so, then it is likely that when divine punishment will come, it will also then afflict you. So the meaning of this verse is that do your responsibilities of amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar. But then if somebody now does not adhere to what you are telling them, then there will be no harm to come to you, and you will not be taken to task for that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some rulings concerning making bequests. Then when a person makes a bequest, he should make sure that there are witnesses, so that after his death, in the fulfillment of that bequest, there is no problems will arise. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the incident through which the surah also has been given its name, that the disciples of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam once requested Isa alayhi salam to make dua to Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala must send down a tablecloth laden with food from which they can eat. He must send it down from the skies. They asked for that miracle to be shown. Isa alayhi salam explained to them that fear Allah ta'ala, don't make such demands. But they insisted and they said that we want to eat from such a tablecloth, and we want to now put our hearts at ease, and we want to know the truthfulness of what you are telling us, and we want to be amongst those who witness such a spectacle, such a great miracle. Isa alayhi salam, because of the insistence of his disciples, made the dua, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned that we will send down such a tablecloth with food. But Allah ta'ala mentions that whoever shows any type of ingratitude after that, and they were ordered not to store any of that food for future, whatever they can eat at that time they must eat, and they must not store anything for future. But some of them, they went against this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala said, إِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. If they do so, I will punish them with such a punishment that I haven't punished anybody from the world in such a way. And this is exactly what happened, and they were transformed into monkeys and pigs because of this transgression of theirs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the surah depicting the condition of the day of Qiyamah, that Allah ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will ask Isa alayhi salam, that did you tell the people that you must make me and my mother deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isa alayhi salam will reply that purity belongs to you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could I have said such a thing which is not the truth? And if I had said something like that, O Allah ta'ala, you know very well, I did not tell them, but that they must, what you have ordered me to tell them, that they should worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is my Rabb and your Rabb. Further on, the dua of Isa alayhi salam, that O Allah ta'ala, if you punish them, they are your servants. And if you forgive them, that you are, then you are very powerful and full of wisdom. The same dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once recited continuously in one of the nights, the whole night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking of his ummah, recited this verse over and over. Further on, the next surah, Suratul An'am, which is a Makki surah, from all the surahs which we have did up till now, besides Suratul Fatiha, this is the first Makki surah, and which was revealed before the Hijrah. In a Makki surah, normally the tenets of Islam and the fundamentals of Islam are mentioned. That is Tawheed, Risalat, and the Aqidah of the year after. And these things are generally mentioned in all the Makki surahs. On the other hand, the Madani surahs, in those surahs, besides the fundamentals of deen, the subsidiary injunctions of deen are also normally mentioned. So this is a Makki surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various ways explains His oneness and His great might and power and His all-encompassing knowledge. And in such a way, all these things are mentioned where the mushrikeen, who are the actual people being addressed, because this is a Makki surah, so it is explained to them in such a way that they are forced to confess and acknowledge to the truthfulness of what has been mentioned, but again because of their obstinacy and because of their pride, they refuse to accept, and not all of them, but some of them, they refuse to accept whatever had been mentioned to them. So Allah Ta'ala explains His great creations, and the qudrat, and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquired by reflecting on the great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then mentions and consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if these people refuse to accept your nabuwat and accept the message of truth, then you haven't been singled out. Many anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam prior to you also went through the same thing. They exercised patience. They were also mocked at. So, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have patience on that. And tell them, سِيرُوا فِي الْأَوْضِ ثُمَّ انْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. They travel in the earth and see for yourself the consequences of those people who were rejectors, who rejected the truth of the Anbiya alayhi salam, referring to the nations of before, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And the effects of that would still be seen around. If you travel with your eyes open, you will be able to see that. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that any harm which afflicts a person, that is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرِّينَ, that if you are afflicted with a difficulty, there is nobody to remove it besides Allah Ta'ala. And if you are granted any good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everything. Nobody will be able to snatch away or prevent that good from coming to you. So, harm and good are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our aqidah in this regard should be corrected. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions in various ways the evils, the evil ideologies of the mushrikeen. And Allah Ta'ala explains His Tawheed in various ways by explaining many of His creations. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of a verse where again Allah Ta'ala says that وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ, that many Anbiya alayhimu salam were falsified and rejected before you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا, and they exercised patience and they made sabr on their being falsified and rejected, and they were harassed till our help came to them. So, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do the same. Our assistance and help will come to you. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of when they started rejecting the message of truth which came to them, and they went into the position of transgressing, then Allah Ta'ala says that فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّى, then we afflicted them with difficult conditions and hardships so that they may turn humble. So the first way Allah Ta'ala tries to explain to them what they are doing is wrong is that Allah Ta'ala afflicts difficult conditions on them. But when they do not take heed in this condition, and then Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, when they forgot that which they have been reminded about, then we open the doors of everything for them. The conditions of good and prosperity are then, the doors of that are open to them. Till they start rejoicing on that which they have been given, and they start reveling on that which they have been given. In other words, start becoming proud. Then Allah Ta'ala says, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, then we seize them suddenly, and then they become despondent. From this we understand that conditions of prosperity and good things doesn't mean that a person has now become the favorite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Sometimes it is a way through which Allah Ta'ala wishes that you open your eyes, sometimes through difficulties, sometimes through good conditions. But never think that, no, now I'm liked by Allah Ta'ala, and you continue in your wrong ways. Because then Allah Ta'ala seizes a person suddenly, and then he is doomed forever. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, that how the wisdom and strategy he used to propagate the fundamental creed of deen, that is Tawheed, how he went, because he was born in such an environment which was immersed in polytheism, and what strategy and wisdom he used, that is being mentioned. The names of about 18 Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are mentioned here. All of them, they propagated this fundamental creed, doctrine of Tawheed to the people. Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ, these are the people whom Allah Ta'ala guided, and you also follow in the footsteps of guidance. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the last quarter of the surah mentions again manifestations of His great power in Qudrat. Allah Ta'ala says, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who splits the grain and the date seed. The date seed, we know how hard it is and solid it is. But when it is put into the ground, how Allah Ta'ala splits it, and then the tree and the plant comes out. Allah Ta'ala says that it is Allah Ta'ala alone who takes out and who takes out the living from the dead, and takes out the dead from the living. How we can see how a chick is born from the egg, and how from the egg again, from the chicken itself, again now an egg comes out. And in a more broader sense, the ulama explain that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out and makes a mu'min out of a kafir. That a person is a kafir, but his progeny may be a mu'min. And on the other hand, it could be the reverse condition also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. Allah Ta'ala is the one who makes the dawn break. Allah is the one who makes the night a place of tranquility and peace. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who determines the orbits of the movements of the sun and the moon. All these have been determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Aziz and Aleem. And in various other ways, Allah ta'ala makes mention of His great Qudrat. On the last page, Allah ta'ala mentions another important principle, that لا تسبوا الذين يدعون من دون الله, that don't talk ill of those things which people worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, don't talk bad in about the religion and gods of others, because in retaliation, what will they do? فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ. They will swear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will talk bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, and you will be the cause. From this we understand that to be a cause for evil, that is also an evil in itself. If you're going to swear a person's father or mother in retaliation, he will not only swear your mother and father, but he will swear even your grandfather and how many generations upwards. But you have been the cause that your father has been sworn at. So a person should be careful in this regard. Mention the haq in a positive way, and inshallah then the results will be there. And if the negative approach is adopted, then there could be wrong repercussions for that. We should be careful in this regard.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. عن أبي أراكة قال سمعت عليا رضي الله عنه يقول والله لقد رأيت أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فما أرى اليوم شيئا يشبههم لقد كانوا يصبحون صفرا شعثا غبرا بين أعينهم كأمثال رعب المعزى قد باتوا لله سجدا وقياما يتلون كتاب الله يتراوحون بين جباههم وأقدامهم فإذا أصبحوا فذكروا الله مادوا كما يميد الشجر في يوم الريح وهملت أعينهم حتى تبل ثيابهم وذكر تمام الرواية رواه ابن أبي الدنيا. حضرت أبو أراكة رضي الله عنه فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے ایک دن حضرت علی رضی اللہ عنہ کے ساتھ فجر کی نماز پڑھی جب آپ نماز سے فارغ ہوئے اور داہنی طرف رخ کر کے بیٹھ گئے تو ایسے معلوم ہو رہا تھا کہ آپ بے چین اور غمگین ہیں حتیٰ کہ جب سورج مسجد کی دیوار سے ایک نیزہ بلند ہوا تو انہوں نے دو رکعت نماز پڑھی پھر اپنے ہاتھ کو پلٹ کر فرمایا کہ اللہ کی قسم میں نے حضرت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم کو دیکھا ہے آج ان جیسا کوئی نظر نہیں آتا ہے صبح کے وقت ان کی یہ حالت ہوتی تھی کہ رنگ زرد اور بال بکھرے ہوئے اور جسم غبار آلود ہوتا تھا ان کی پیشانی پر سجدہ کا اتنا بڑا نشان نمایاں ہوتا تھا جتنا بڑا نشان بکری کے گھٹنے پر ہوتا ہے ساری رات اللہ کے سامنے سجدہ کرتے ہوئے اور کرے ہو کر قرآن کی تلاوت کرتے ہوئے گزار دیتے تھے اور سجدہ اور قیام ہی میں راحت حاصل کرتے تھے جب صبح ہو جاتی تھی اور اللہ کا ذکر کرتے تو ایسے جھومتے جیسے کہ تیز ہوا کے دن یا بعد صبا کے وقت درخت جھومتا ہے اور اس طرح روتے کے کپڑے گیلے ہو جاتے. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu once said, by Allah, verily I had seen the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I find none who resemble them today. They would awaken in the morning with nothing in their hands, no wealth, with disheveled hair and dusty clothes. On their foreheads would be a mark resembling the knee of a goat due to long periods of time spent in prostration. They would spend the major portion of the night standing and prostrating before Allah, reciting the Quran, alternating between qiyam, standing and sajda, prostrating. When dawn would break, they would engage in Allah's zikr, swaying from side to side like how a tree sways on a windy day. Tears would flow from their eyes so much that even their clothes would become wet. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, verily I have seen the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I find none who resemble them today. They would awaken in the morning with nothing in their hands, no wealth, with disheveled hair and dusty clothes. On their foreheads would be a mark resembling the knee of a goat due to long periods of time spent in prostration. They would spend the major portion of the night standing and prostrating before Allah, reciting the Quran, alternating between qiyam and sajda, prostrating. When dawn would break, they would engage in Allah's zikr, swaying from side to side like how a tree sways on a windy day. Tears would flow from their eyes so much that even their clothes would become wet.